VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. It's a news roundup day here today. And friends, I've got so much material, it's enough for at least three or four news roundup days. And somehow we've got to compact everything down into one. But we'll cover a number of stories and issues here today. Lord willing, we'll have opportunity on the phones for you as well to comment on perhaps some of the things we didn't get time to raise here on the broadcast today and get your feedback on so many of these issues. Troubling times in which we live. Paul told Timothy in the last days, perilous times would come. Men being lovers of themselves, they'd be covetous, proud, boasters, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The list goes on, but also warned about deception that would be taking place in the last days as well. And friends, certainly these are perilous times in which we live, and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, holding and standing firm on the authority of his word, which is so critical in times just like these. But we're going to cover a number of news events here today from around the United States in particular. Politico tells us Senate Democrats adopted a budget measure early Wednesday morning to deliver their new next filibuster-proof ticket to passing major legislation. After more than 14 hours of continuous amendment votes, the chamber adopted party-line votes a 92-page framework. Hear that? Framework for the Democratic $3.5 trillion package of climate and social initiatives, including child care, expanded Medicare, paid family and medical leave benefits. Once both chambers have approved the budget instructions, it will unlock the reconciliation process, which empowers a majority party to eventually clear the final bill with just 51 votes in the Senate rather than the usual 60. Now, friends, this all gave way because of the Republicans that caved on the infrastructure legislation. And because these two pieces needed to be put together, and Nancy Pelosi demanded that they be put together, and Mitch McConnell complied. From CNSNews.com, former HUD Secretary Ben Carson said, "This is not America anymore," commenting on how bills like the one introduced by Rashida Tlaib are turning the U.S. from a can-do nation into one dependent upon the government. Tlaib introduced the $40 billion Maintaining Access to Essential Services Act, which would bribe utility companies to cease shutoffs, restore services, and cancel utility, power, water, broadband debt by providing loans that the companies wouldn't have to repay. In other words, everybody who's not paying their power bills, their water bills, or broadband internet bills, that the utility companies should just stop the shutoffs and pay for it themselves with a loan from the government that's not repayable back to the U.S. Treasury. Isn't that interesting? From Fox 10 Phoenix, the U.S. Department of Education gave another pause in the repayment on student loan payments until January 31st of 2022. The previous student loan payment pause was to expire in October. Now it's January 31 of 2022. A story from Fox Business tells us a new Fox poll showed that more Democrats are favoring socialism over capitalism in a sharp reversal from just a year and a half ago. The poll was taken August 7th through the 10th, showed that 59% of registered Democratic voters who participated had a positive view of socialism compared to just 49% who felt that way about capitalism. Let's see. Also, Matt Staver from Liberty Council mentions this. You know, when that vote was taking place on the $3.5 trillion budget in the middle of the night, well, around 4:30 in the morning Eastern Time on Wednesday, Chuck Schumer attempted to slip the so-called For the People Act to the U.S. Senate floor for debate, referred to in the House as H.R. 1 and Senate 1 and Senate 2093, the bill that would increase voter fraud in any precinct. Chuck Schumer tried to slip this in the middle of the night for passage. Fortunately, Ted Cruz was present to block the Senate from considering the election fraud bill that Democrats have been threatening to pass. Cruz said this, quote, "This bill would constitute a federal government takeover of elections. The Senate floor, it would constitute a massive power grab by Democrats. It would disenfranchise millions of Americans, and it would do precisely the opposite of its nominal title, For the People." Matt Staver said this, the so-called For the People Act is better named for the Fraud Act. It's no surprise that Schumer tried to slide this bill to the floor early in the morning when many senators were not present. Thankfully, Senator Ted Cruz was on the floor at 4:30 a.m. to object to the undemocratic tactic. Folks, it is underway. They are trying to get this thing passed. And that's why it's to stay ever vigilant. Stay ever vigilant and contacting your senators and congressmen on issues like this. A very, very troubling story caught my attention here from lifenews.com. Here is the headline. Scientists want people fitted with euthanasia chip that kills you at the first sign of dementia. Folks, this is amazing. It's troublesome. A recent article published by leading bioethics journal, the Hastings Center Report, has proposed an implant that would automatically trigger a lethal drug at the onset of dementia. In the report, the co-authors, Margaret Batten and Brent Kios, proposed the introduction of an advanced directive implant, an ADI, in an article titled Ending One's Life in Advance. There is even a precedent for the proposed implant. Norplant, a controversial contraceptive implant that was withdrawn from the UK in 1999, well, like Norplant, the ADI would be reversible and programmable, but the drugs it would release would cause death instantaneously. It would likely be implanted at the onset of dementia and programmed to activate according to the patient's prognosis. They did, however, acknowledge that the lethal and ethical barriers that such proposals would likely face, even if our laws were liberalized dramatically, those laws would remain controversial and would continue to impose great burdens on those left behind, on family members, friends, nurses, and perhaps most acutely on physicians called upon to act. They therefore suggest that the development of a means to enable persons in the early stages of dementia to choose, while competent, the timing of their own death without the subsequent intervention of anyone else would go a long way in the situation. They also get the better parts of dementia if they wish, but avoid the worst parts that they reasonably fear. Yet while they explain that as the ADI would require extensive engineering, it may not be feasible with current technologies, but they suggest it would become feasible in the near future. Scientists arguing, folks, to fit people with this chip, a euthanasia chip, that would kill them at the first sign of dementia or some form of the dementia process. It would automatically trigger through an advanced directive. They would program the chip. What happens if that thing malfunctions? Folks, it's not ethical to take one's life in this regard. New York Post reporting that the CDC is urging all pregnant women to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, folks, there's a dilemma here, and I'm going to share that dilemma with you. Okay, so first of all, reported this week, the CDC is urging all pregnant women to get COVID-19 vaccine. They released a new evidence Wednesday. Now, I'm going to share another side to this in just a moment, so don't tune out. They released new evidence Wednesday that bolsters its recommendation that all pregnant women get the COVID-19 vaccine. The agency announced new safety data that showed that 2,500 women had no increased risk of miscarriage if they received at least one dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine before 20 weeks of pregnancy, they say. The vaccines are safe and effective, they say. That's a quote. It's never been more urgent to increase vaccinations as we face the highly transmissible Delta variant and see adverse outcomes from COVID-19 among unvaccinated pregnant people, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said in a statement. Well, now, let me just stop there. Why is she referring them as pregnant people? These are women. They're not pregnant people. I'd like to also go on to say COVID-19 vaccine is recommended for all people 12 years and older, including people who are pregnant, breastfeeding, or trying to get pregnant now, or might become pregnant in the future. Now, keep that in mind. That's end of quote. That's the CDC. Now, last week on this program, we told you about the former vice president of Pfizer, Dr. Michael Yaden, who's warning childbearing age women, do not accept these vaccines. So the CDC says, take it, accept it. It's okay. Dr. Michael Yaden, the former vice president at Pfizer, warning not to take it. He highlighted reasons. He said, we never, ever give experimental medicines to pregnant women. He said, we never, ever do that. Now, just keep in mind his background. He's a former vice president of Pfizer. He has degrees in biochemistry and toxicology, a PhD in respiratory pharmacology, worked for 32 years in the pharmaceutical industry, and retired in 2011 from the most senior position in his field as vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory at Pfizer. Okay, he knows from whence he speaks. He talked about the studies that were done with rats, how this right away, shot concentrated on the ovaries of rats and the contaminants there. And he said that should never happen. This is an area of the body that we don't want this product. It's not necessary to induce immunity to have a vaccine there. He also talked about the petition to the European Medicines Agency, who's with another physician from Germany, expressing concerns from the testing of COVID-19 vax, has explained a concern that the spike protein is faintly similar, not very strongly, but similar to an essential protein in the placenta, something that's absolutely required for both fertilization and formation and maintenance of the placenta. So you can't get pregnant and have a successful pregnancy if this protein is damaged in any way. Now, friends, I wish I had time right now to play an audio clip from Bill Gates, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play it right after the break, which is just another minute and a half from now. Don't miss out, because here we have the CDC encouraging women to get this and get the shot, and urging all pregnant women to get the COVID-19 vax. Here we have the former vice president of Pfizer warning childbearing age women, do not accept these vaccines. Now, I just went to the OpenVAERS, and as I shared the other day, and still they have not updated this since July 30th of 2021. But they do show that for those who have received the COVID vaccine, that there have been 1,381 miscarriages thus far. 1,381 miscarriages as of July 30th of 2021. And as we shared the other day with Twyla Brace, just over 12,000 deaths and over 46,000 hospitalizations as well. But there's a dilemma. The CDC says perfectly safe. The former vice president at Pfizer warning pregnant women not to get this. We're going to take a break here on Crosstalk on VCY America, and stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to hear from Bill Gates himself, who's poured lots and lots of money into vaccinations, who's all been about population control. Is there a connection between the two? It's got to be a head-scratcher, folks, saying how we can save lives and reduce the population. Think about it. What is going on with the vaccines that Bill Gates is behind? We'll be back in just one moment. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how can some lizards walk and even hang upside down on very smooth surfaces?
Chris, this is an amazing feat. Consider the gecko, which can stick to almost any surface, even a polished pane of glass. It attaches itself by tiny hairs on its feet, which are so tiny they're packed at about 500 per square inch. Each hair exerts a tiny chemical force which is attracted to the glass surface, and together they support the weight of the lizard. By curling and uncurling the toes, the lizards can break this bond and move on and take another step. You know, often engineers notice an ability in animals and attempt to mimic it in engineering design. And that's what they're trying to do in this case. Maybe by modeling the gecko lizard, we can even have Spider-Man clinging to smooth surfaces. Such things are possible if you go back to Genesis for your starting point.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
It's the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and again, there's this dilemma. So we have the CDC director. This is Dr. Rochelle Walensky. She issued a statement saying the vaccines are safe and effective and has never been more urgent to increase vaccinations as we face the highly transmissible Delta variant and see severe outcomes from COVID-19 among unvaccinated pregnant people. You see, they're so woke there that they will not say women. I mean, that is against their vocabulary to say male, female, men, women. No, we have to say unvaccinated pregnant people. So she's calling it safe and effective. The former VP of Pfizer is warning childbearing age women do not accept this vaccine. Now, we're going to play for you a montage of clips. It's about 90 seconds long of Bill Gates, who has been very much intimately involved in putting out funds for vaccinations. And you're going to hear him talk in four different settings about saving lives and reducing the population. Let's listen in.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
But if we go back to the key metrics, which is, you know, what the foundation looks at on all its stuff, can we drop the number of children who die per year in half and get the reduction in sickness and population growth that comes with that? That is sort of front of mind all the time.
Yeah. We've seen now there's a type of foreign assistance for vaccines or for AIDS treatment that are incredibly effective. These are all about saving lives. And the good news is that as you make those breakthroughs, the population growth in the country goes down. These are all about saving lives.
Folks, think about this. Think about what he's saying. Let's put on our thinking caps here. If we do a real good job on these vaccines, we'll lower the population. How does that happen? How does that happen? We're going to save all these lives, and we're going to lower the population. So when we open phone lines, feel free to comment on that issue. Let's get on to another story, WND.com. As the United States struggles with the Delta variant of the novel coronavirus, there's a new study finding that vaccines are ineffective against the Lambda mutation. That's another one. It's ravaging parts of South America. Researchers in Japan pointed out that the Lambda variant, which first surfaced in Peru, surged in Chile in the spring despite a high vaccination rate. The study is awaiting this peer review prior to being published. But currently, the Lambda variant comprises only 0.1% of the cases of U.S. so far. But, folks, it could be coming. And this deadly Lambda variant could be vaccine resistant, they're putting it out. Will another booster be needed? From Breitbart, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg on Tuesday weighed in on the Pentagon announcing that all active duty military members are required to have received a coronavirus vaccine by September 15th. He said on New Day that when he was in the military, he got vaccinated all the time. He added that getting vaccinated is part of the job and for your own good. From Epoch Times, writer there, and covered here now by Understanding Deep Politics, U.S. military service members will be allowed to seek an exemption from the soon-to-be-mandated COVID-19 vax, which could be determined by individual military service regulations, the Pentagon spokesperson said. There is a religious exemption possibility for any mandatory vaccine, and that's a process that we go through to counsel the individual both from a medical and from a command perspective about using a religious exemption, Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said during a press briefing on August the 10th. We take freedom of religion and worship seriously in the military. It's one of the things that we sign up to defend, and so it's something that's done very carefully. Service members will be able to apply for medical exemptions, Kirby said. The primary care physician will be able to help make that determination. But he said a service member can't request an exemption just because he or she doesn't want to take the vaccine. From Axios, California Governor Gavin Newsom Wednesday announced that teachers and other school staff will be required statewide to get this shot. California is the first state in the U.S. to impose such a requirement. Epic Times telling us some employers are starting to tack on a $20 to $50 monthly surcharge to their unvaccinated workers, according to Health Benefits Consultant Group. Employers have tried encouraging employees to get vaccinated through offering incentives like paid time off and cash. But with the Delta variant driving up infections and hospitalizations throughout the country at the same time that vaccination rates have stalled, we've received inquiries from at least 20 employers over the past few weeks who are giving consideration to adding health coverage surcharges for the unvaccinated as a way to drive up vaccination rates in their workforce. Wade Simmons with consultancy group Mercer told Forbes magazine August 8th. He didn't disclose the names of the firms that were looking for the add-on charges, but the rationale is that to health insurance contributions for unvaccinated employees is seen as similar to that for tobacco use surcharge, he wrote. Interesting similarity there, huh? Or contrast? From WND.com, a stunning study revealing how ineffective the Pfizer vaccine actually is. New study by the Mayo Clinic found that the Pfizer vaccine was only 42% effective against infection in July in the clinic's home state of Minnesota when the Delta variant became dominant. If that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is, said a senior Biden official. The study conducted jointly with a biomedical software company, Neference, compared the effectiveness of Pfizer-Moderna vaccines in the Mayo study. They found Pfizer's vaccine 76% effective against infection, but with the spread of the Delta variant in July, its effectiveness dropped to 42% during the month. Amazon is among other retailers requiring employees now to wear masks. Some 900,000 U.S. warehouse employees will be impacted by this. I'd like to you to hear from Rand Paul. YouTube has now sidelined him, at least temporarily. He posted a video urging Americans to resist mandates and called into question the usefulness of most masks in fighting COVID. Now, he's got a 7-day ban from YouTube. A tweet he posted Tuesday, he said, called it a badge of honor. But this is what got him into trouble.
It's time for us to resist. They can't arrest all of us. They can't keep all of your kids home from school. They can't keep every government building closed, although I've got a long list of ones they might keep closed or might ought to keep closed. We don't have to accept the mandates, lockdowns, and harmful policies of the petty tyrants and bureaucrats. We can simply say no, not again. Nancy Pelosi, you will not arrest or stop me or anyone on my staff from doing our jobs. We have either had COVID, had the vaccine, or been offered the vaccine. We will make our own health choices. We will not show you a passport. We will not wear a mask. We will not be forced into random screenings and testings so you can continue your drunk with power reign over the Capitol. President Biden, we will not accept your agency's mandates or your reported moves towards a lockdown. No one should follow the CDC's anti-science mask mandates. And if you want to shut down federal agencies again, some of which aren't even back to work yet, I will stop every bill coming through the Senate with an amendment to cut their funding if they don't come back to work in person. Local bureaucrats and union bosses, we will not allow you to do more harm to our children again this year. Children are not at any more risk from COVID than they are from the seasonal flu. Every adult who works in schools has either had the vaccine or had their chance to get vaccinated. There is no reason for mask mandates, part-time schools, or any lockdown measures. Children are falling behind in school and are being harmed physically and psychologically by the tactics that you have used to keep them from the classroom during the last year. We won't allow it again. If a school system attempts to keep children from full-time in-person school, I will hold up every bill with two amendments, one to defund them and another to allow parents the choice of where the money goes for their child's education. Do I sound fed up to you? That's because I am. I'm not a career politician. I practiced medicine for 33 years. I graduated from Duke Medical School. I've worked in emergency rooms. I've studied immunology and virology. And I ultimately chose to become an eye surgeon. I've been telling everyone for a year now that Dr. Fauci and other public health bureaucrats were not following the science, and I've been proven right time and time again. But I'm not the only one who's fed up. I can't go anywhere these days without people coming up and thanking me for standing up for them, whether I'm at work or at events in Kentucky, at airports, in restaurants, or in stores. People thank me for taking a stand. They thank me for standing up for actual science, for standing up for freedom, for standing against mandates, lockdowns, and bureaucratic power grabs. I think the tide is turning as more and more people are willing to stand up. I see stories from across the country of parents standing up to the unions and school boards. I see brave moms standing up and saying, my kids need to go back to school in person. I see members of Congress refusing to comply with petty tyrant Pelosi. We are at a moment of truth and a crossroads. Will we allow these people to use fear and propaganda to do further harm to our society, economy, and children? Or will we stand together and say, absolutely not, not this time, I choose freedom?
That's medical doctor, now U.S. Senator Rand Paul speaking. And he's been banned as a result for making that statement and publishing it. Let's see, by YouTube, that is. Also, we have from Western Journal, a vaccine mandate San Francisco has adopted could force more than 150 deputies to quit, according to the deputies union. The problem we are faced with now is the strict San Francisco mandate, which is vaccinate or be terminated. If deputy sheriffs are forced to vaccinate, a percentage of them will retire early or seek employment elsewhere, the San Francisco Deputy Sheriffs Association wrote in a Facebook post. The Post argued that those not vaccinated have good reasons. The majority of deputy sheriffs are vaccinated. Approximately 160 of the 700 deputy sheriffs are not and prefer to mask and test weekly instead of being vaccinated due to religious and other beliefs, the Post stated, warning about staffing at critical levels in San Francisco. The Capital Times reporting Senator Tammy Baldwin is introducing a Disease X bill to prepare for an unknown viral threat. It would advocate or allow for some $2 billion over a four-year period for the federal government to prepare medical responses for future viral threats. It's called the Disease X Bill. It was introduced by Tammy Baldwin yesterday, providing some $500 million a year to the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority that will enable the U.S. to rapidly develop drugs, diagnostics, and vaccines against unknown viral threats in order to save lives and safeguard the economy in future events, said Anita Cicero, Deputy Director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in a statement. Disease X. The next pandemic, they said, driven by an unknown disease X, will come, says Senator Baldwin. More news after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network, and we'll give you opportunity a little bit later in the broadcast for some quick comments on some of the issues we're talking about here today. Christian Post saying that a Virginia school district passed a new policy that, among other things, allows trans-identified students to use bathrooms that correspond with their gender identity and requires teachers to refer to students, hear that, requires teachers to refer to students by their preferred names and pronouns. The Loudoun County School Board voted 7-2 Wednesday to approve this policy called Rights of Transgender and Gender Expansive Students, despite considerable opposition to the proposal. Matter of fact, this proposal allows students to use their restrooms or locker rooms that corresponds to their consistently asserted gender identity. Staff or students who intentionally and persistently refuse to respect a student's gender identity by using the wrong name or the wrong gender pronoun will be in violation of the policy. One teacher appeared before the school board to testify and simply said, "I quit." I'm going to let you hear what she had to say in this two-minute address. This is Laura Morris. She is a teacher there at the Loudoun County. Well, I should say now was a teacher. This was a school board had a meeting that took place. Policies regarding the treatment of transgender students, also dealing with critical race theory and promoting critical race theory. Here's exactly what she had to say before the school board.
My name is Laura Morris. I have been a teacher in Loudoun County Public Schools for 5 years and a teacher for 10. In that time, I have learned so much, being on the cutting edge of educational technology and working with a diverse population of students that I have loved. This year, I have the privilege to follow my amazing fourth graders up to fifth, and I have been excited about this all summer. On the other hand, this summer I have struggled with the idea of returning to school, knowing that I'll be working yet again with a school division that, despite its shiny tech and flashy salary, promotes political ideologies that do not square with who I am as a believer in Christ. After reading about your lack of consideration for the growing population of concerned citizens in this division, clearly evidenced by this empty room tonight where you shut the doors to the public, as well as the emails sent by the superintendent last year, reminding me that a dissenting opinion is not allowed, even to be spoken in my personal life, going so far as to send a form to my colleagues and I, encouraging us to fill it out if we hear one another speaking against the controversial policies being promoted by this school board and adopted in this county. Not only that, but within the last year, I was told in one of my so-called equity trainings that white, Christian, able-bodied females currently have the power in our schools, and that, quote, this has to change. Clearly, you've made your point. You no longer value me or many other teachers you've employed in this county. So since my contract outlines the power that you have over my employment in Loudoun County Public Schools, I thought it necessary to resign in front of you. School board, I quit. I quit your policies, I quit your trainings, and I quit being a cog in a machine that tells me to push highly politicized agendas on our most vulnerable constituents, the children. I will find employment elsewhere. I encourage all parents and staff in this county to flood the private schools.
Laura Morris, as she quit right before the school board meeting, and they went on to pass this very controversial policy, this transgender policy, 7-2. Western Journal reporting U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers intercepted nearly $500,000 of suspected meth and heroin hidden in a 2006 Toyota entering from Mexico. Drug trafficking is increasing under the Biden administration border policies. Just the News indicating that more than 1 million people entered the U.S. illegally in the first 6 months of 2021. The Border Patrol has encountered 703 Russians illegally in the U.S. in July. This from CNSNews.com. When we've had guests from Center for Immigration Studies on, they said they're coming from countries all over the world, but 703 illegal Russians have been caught. Also, they're finding that a number of individuals from Colombia, South America, and from Ukraine, the numbers from Ukraine have doubled from what they saw previous. And then this leaked audio from the UN, or rather, yeah, UN, the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Mayorkas, admitted we are going to lose, referring to this border crisis. A couple of days ago, I was down in Mexico and I said, look, you know, if our borders are the first line of defense, we're going to lose. And this is unsustainable, he said. We can't continue like this. Our people in the field can't continue and our system isn't built for it. Well, that was closed audio. It's difficult to, I'm not going to play the audio clip because it's a lot of background and so forth that makes it difficult to hear over the airwaves. But you'll find it at westernjournal.com. Here is from CNSNews.com, from Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona said Tuesday that he has filed articles of impeachment against the Homeland Security Secretary, saying as a result of his actions and policies, America is more in danger today than when he began serving as secretary. He is willfully refusing to maintain operational control of the border and is encouraging aliens to enter our country illegally, Biggs said in a statement. That's Biggs. CBN News, the Taliban blitzes a huge swath of Afghanistan empowered by the U.S. pullout. We will kill all of you guys, they are saying. The New York Times notes that American negotiators are trying to extract assurances from the Taliban that they will not attack the U.S. embassy in Kabul if the extremist group takes over the country's government and ever wants to receive foreign aid. Now, think about that. We're trying to negotiate now with the Taliban saying, don't hurt our embassy. Don't do that or else we're not going to consider you for giving you foreign aid. They want assurances not to hurt our embassy. The Taliban's rapid advancement through the country has netted the extremist group's control of the U.S.-made military vehicles, taking our anti-aircraft guns, armored tanks, and artillery that were provided to Afghan security forces to fight against the Taliban, now in the hands of the Taliban. From Fox News, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called out the Biden administration for what he described as poor planning and poor execution of a U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, which may lead to the nation's capital of Kabul to fall to the Taliban. Meanwhile, Open Doors USA is asking for urgent prayer for believers in Afghanistan. Urging prayer for believers in Afghanistan. The danger to the believers, they say, in Afghanistan has risen exponentially. And while you're praying for Afghanistan, in India, it is also being reported that Hindu nationalists recently held an openly anti-Christian rally calling on followers to commit acts of violence against churches. International Christian Concern learned and reported the rally. It's a rally against Christians perpetrating false narratives against Christians, as well as calling for attacks. The president of such a group is saying, let us drag people from the church and stop conversions at any cost, calling on rally attendance to make the district a conversion-free zone. Troubling news out of England and Wales. 25% of pregnancies ended up in killing the unborn baby. It's the first time the percentage of pregnancies that end in abortion in the UK has surpassed 25%, according to data released by the Office of National Statistics. The activist mommy had that story there. Also, doctors are confirming, this is from lifenews.com, doctors who have analyzed documents obtained from the federal government have confirmed that aborted babies are being born alive and left to die so that their organs may be used for scientific research at the University of Pittsburgh. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our phone number, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news stories, 800-733-9829. Inflation for businesses, this is from the Daily Wire. Inflation for businesses reached over a year, year-over-year rate of 7.8% in July. That is the highest level ever recorded. Thursday morning, the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed that the producer price index, not the consumer, this is the producer price index, which tracks changes in input prices for businesses and other domestic producers, increased by 1% during the month of July alone. Inflation for businesses reaching 7.8%. And we see what inflation is doing. You're seeing it in your grocery stores. You're seeing it with clothing. You're seeing it with building supplies. You're seeing it in all aspects. And despite that, Washington Examiner points out that the inflation rate is surging, with consumer prices rising faster than they have in more than 30 years. Economists are warning that inflation could be here to stay, and the public is growing increasingly concerned about rising prices. Yet despite this threat to our economic recovery, the Biden administration and congressional Democrats are pushing trillions of dollars of more spending. Trillions of dollars. Folks, the spending bill is unbelievable and pushing us towards socialism like we've never seen it before. And one other story here, and that is the Texas Department of Family and Protection Services on Wednesday confirmed that gender transition surgery on children constitutes child abuse. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Steve in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, you might find it quite interesting that the Secretary of Defense, and which at the time in 1997, on April 25th, his name was William S. Cohen, as he gave a testimony before a congressional committee, was talking about how advanced forms of biological warfare to target specific genotypes that could transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to political useful tools. Not only that, I think you might find it quite interesting that David Rockefeller in 2000 said, quote, "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis. The nations will accept the New World Order." And then back in 1991, Jacques Stoltz advocated that we have to eliminate 350 million people off this planet. So this has been at the works for a long time, and I do believe these COVID passports are definitely, without a doubt, laying the foundation for the mark of the beast, you know, where we can't buy or sell. At least you have the mark. And I'm not saying they are the mark of the beast right now, but it's definitely laying the foundation. The technology is already in place, as well as the hardware.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your comment. I know you have more to say, but we've got others lined up behind you here. Thanks for the call. William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Brother Tim, what was the name of the teacher again that quit the Loudoun school board?
Laura Morris.
Well, I think we need to lift Miss Morris up in prayer because she took a very bold stand, and I'm very proud to call myself an American Christian for what she did. But my point is, I thought the left has been telling us for years that bullying is wrong. How come the president and Fauci and Gates and all these other people that I think are quite evil, how come they're bullying everybody into taking the vaccines? I thought bullying was wrong. And what about my body, my choice? I thought the left said that if it's your body, it's your choice, you know, leave us alone when it comes to abortion. How come that doesn't apply to vaccines? So I think we need to take back the talking points and start using those talking points against them. So we need to lift Miss Morris up in prayer. And again, I always appreciate the hard work that VCY does to keep us informed.
Thank you, William. Thank you, William. And up against a break, we're back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. I'm giving you this commentary today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. at the Cyber Symposium that is being held to see about what went on with our 2020 election. Elections are one of the most important things that we do in America. Many people died to maintain our freedoms to vote and to have a representative form of government, a constitutional republic. That means we give our authority to an elected official to represent us. They hold our authority as the people in trust to do the will of the people as bound by the United States Constitution and particularly our constitutional republic that our framers said was based on the law of the divine. If we get away from free and fair elections, you have no free society. Where you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of economics, and you have freedom of speech. Take any of those away, and you live in a totalitarian state. Freedom of our election is at the core of a constitutional republic.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and as the callers pointed out, this whole matter of population control, it's been going on for some time. I mean, you heard the clips from Bill Gates, but let me take you back, and I believe you referenced Jacques Cousteau in the UNESCO Courier, November 1991. Here's a quote from Jacques Cousteau. He said, "The damage people cause to the planet is a function of demographics. It is equal to the degree of development. One American burdens the earth much more than 20 Bangladeshis. This is a terrible thing to say. In order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day." He said it's a horrible thing to say, but it's just as bad not to say it. Jacques Cousteau. And yes, the 1991, that statement made. One other thing before I get back to the phone lines here. A warning here, CBNNews.com, online gaming, one of the world's fastest growing entertainment industries. While many players log on looking to battle with friends, speed through a simulated racetrack, or even build a virtual world, there's a seriously dangerous aspect to gaming. A new FBI campaign, It's Not a Game, warns parents that sexual predators consider these platforms hunting grounds. In the summer of 2020, FBI analyst Chris Travis noted a trend in several child exploitation cases. He's saying these perpetrators were using online gaming platforms to open communications with the children, so to identify basically their targets, to start communication with them, begin their grooming process, and then woo them over to other applications where they can then have video and picture sharing capability. Kids in our country, he warned, are being sex trafficked. And by the way, DC Comics has announced that Robin is now bisexual. You know Batman and Robin? Well, Robin is now bisexual. Well, let's go to Mitchell, South Dakota. Phil, you're on the air.
Yes. Here's the travel advisory for all you people who are not vaccinated. Canada does not want you. I called the Canadian consulate, and they said that in order to enter Canada, you have to be vaccinated. No religious or medical exemptions accepted. You have to be vaccinated.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Let's get to Dante in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, this video game industry definitely has taken a turn for the worst. It used to just be people going back and forth with, you know, like, you're bad, I'm good kind of comments, but it's more so the producers or the investors, they're cowering to this agenda that they're trying to push, where it's like, oh, you can't have toxic behavior online, you can't have toxic behavior in person, and in the end it's going to end up being you can't have toxic behavior ever, or else we're going to get to throw you in jail. Like, I can't tell you the things that I wonder people are going to get thrown in jail for. Like, I sent a tweet while driving or something, and, you know, you might end up getting arrested for that or getting a ticket later on. You know, where does it, you know, end? Like, they start with, you know, our social media, and then they're going to start, like in France, they're going around checking people's papers. You know, it sounds like a piece of history.
While they're eating. I mean, while they're eating in a restaurant, they're going up and demanding their papers.
And it's like, I got my mouth full, boss. Like, let me, you know, parlez-vous français? No, I do not. But, like, and then the whole Robin thing, you can make the argument, like, oh, that's just one Robin. You know, there's, like, four Robins in the comics. But at the same time, it's like they're all trying to, I hate to say it, and I don't even know if I'm allowed to say Disney is probably the worst of it. Like, they throw, like, a Greta Thunberg cameo in, like, one of these shows to show, like, progression of time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, let's just throw this one little clip or, you know, like, another episode of that new show or where they're like, oh, this is, like, the police coming after the one superhero of a different race, yeah. And you need the one guy to stand up. And it's like, why are they pushing this in our shows in our TV and our, you know, like when I was a kid.
Yeah, tell you what, Dante, we've got a lot of people lined up. We've only got 3 minutes left, so got your points there. Thank you so very much. Appreciate the call here today. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I'm trying to figure out why our military, which has fought and died in foreign lands to hold back Marxism and communism, why they're standing idly by and watching their homeland fall to Marxism and communism. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. Let's go to Dean in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the only one that finds it hard to pray for the president when the election was rigged. I feel like I'm praying for President Biden when it's a lie that he even got in. Thank you very much.
Okay, and, you know, I think, you know who wrote that? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul wrote that, to pray for kings, for those that are in authority. And remember who was ruling during the time of the Apostle Paul. Know the name of Nero? Let's go to Laura in Hollywood, Maryland. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. I just wanted to say that I have been at the forefront of vaccines when it comes to pregnancy and knowing about them, researching them. I had told a friend, even before COVID came along, when H1N1 came along, don't get the shot, and she was pregnant. And she went and got it. Within weeks, she started miscarrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not surprised that they want to push this on pregnant ladies, just like they do on the flu and the elderly, because it's all about population control and reducing populations, eugenics. They don't care what it does to people, and it's not to protect ladies. And it's actually morally wrong to experiment on pregnant ladies, because you cannot do that. So any woman who is pregnant and gets a vaccine will be a volunteer guinea pig.
Laura, thank you for your thoughts. Let's get to Big Fork, Minnesota. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm a registered nurse. I work in the emergency room. And the company that I work for is planning on mandating the vaccine in September. And I know it's going to affect an awful lot of people at work. Almost a third of the people at work have not taken the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Means they're going to lose that many people if they actually go through with it. My question is that my understanding is they're planning September because the government somehow is going to get past the emergency emergency certification and actually certify this vaccine. Is that a possibility at this time?
Well, I've read different stories on this issue, and some of which have indicated that that it would take years before they actually get FDA approval. Others are saying that they're speeding it up, trying to get it into early 22, but I have seen some indicating that they're trying to get the passage of it to take it off the emergency status by this very fall. So that very well may be taking place there. But check out Liberty Council, lc.org, and our interview with Matt Staver. Folks, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk. Let's pray for this nation.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.